ministry at Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in the book of Judges, and we're in chapter 2. We trust you'll have your Bible open and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word.
Now you begin to realize right here, we're getting a preview of what's coming. He's going to tell us about those judges. This is like a prologue. And he's telling us what happened with Joshua fading off the scene, the new people, and this is why we're in such a mess. I'm telling you guys, this has application to us today. We have left God, and we've served the world's crowd. We have left morality, and we've dove in for immorality. We've left righteousness, and we've allowed ourselves to revel in iniquity, which is lawlessness. Defund the police? Really? Really? Said the person who sits behind a gated community with bodyguards wherever they go. Don't build a wall and yet you fenced in the White House? Right? I mean, they're just saying it right in our faces. And they're showing they don't believe what they're saying. Now, the Bible says in verse 17, and they would not hearken unto the judges. Now, it's interesting because God was with these judges. Nevertheless, the Lord raised up judges, verse 16, and delivered them out of the hand of those that spoiled them. Sometimes they were in bondage for 8 years, and God delivered them. Sometimes they're in bondage for 20 years, and God delivered them after a new guy comes along, Gideon or whatever. They bring Samson, Gideon, they bring Ehud, and these people, and they would come, and they would deliver them. And the people would follow him for a minute, and then they would be right back. And the Bible says in verse 17, it says, they turned quickly out of the way, which their fathers walked in, obeying the commandments of the Lord. But they did not so. They didn't go in that way, even though they just saw that they were saved by their chinny chin chin, you know, whenever the hair of their chinny chin chin. They're just barely getting past the sword, and then they're ready to dive back into the sewer. Verse 18 says, and when the Lord raised them up judges, the Lord was with the judge. Now, I suggest to you that you can be a judge in your own world. Just love on Jesus. The Bible talks about the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth, that he might strongly support those whose hearts are completely his. Why? So somebody would get saved. It wasn't just so you could be mighty, so you could get a reputation, so you could just bask in your goodness. That's what brings pride forth. You know, that's all born of pride. Why did the Jews go into the midst of the Galatians and say, you got to be Jewish? Because they were proud of all their good works. They didn't want to let that go. No, it's all about Jesus. And you and I can be judges. One of the most well-known verses to the lost person is, judge not that you be not judged. Well, I would refer you to another verse. It's in the book of John in chapter 7, and it says, judge ye righteous judgment. That's what it says. You're supposed to judge. Bible says in Hebrews chapter 5, at the end of the chapter, it says, you need to know how to discern good and evil. You're supposed to judge. You're supposed to be discriminating. So what we're seeing here is he's saying he was with a judge. Don't you want to be a judge? Now, it might be just saving to the saving of your own family. That may be all what you get. You know, save your family. You're going to save your sister, brother, mom, dad. You're going to save your nephews. You're going to win them to Jesus because that's why you're in their life. In our discussion this morning in Sunday school, the question was on the table, you know, was God just moving in that guy's life? Or, you know, did he give him extra? Was it, you know, we don't believe in election, so it can't be that. What was going on there? And I said, well, God put you in that guy's life. And somebody else he put in their life when he was younger. Maybe a grandma. Maybe an aunt. She laid some seed. This guy works with Craig. He's in a world that's turning upside down. He's a Marine. He knows how to listen, how to square his shoulders, how to focus. And he said, Craig's the guy. I want to talk to Craig. He went and talked to Craig and got saved. What I'm saying is that God is at work all the time, and the only reason you and I have been left down here after we're getting saved is so we can win somebody else. You're supposed to be a testimony, and then you're supposed to be giving a testimony. You win a hearing, and then you give the gospel. There is no other real mandate here. We're sold of the earth. Why? Because God doesn't want people to go to hell. That's why. We're sold of the earth not to be good citizens. We're sold of the earth so somebody can get saved. Read in 1 Timothy chapter 2 about praying for kings and all those in authority that you might lead a quiet and peaceable life, for God would have all men to be saved. That's what it says. He wants you to have a good government that you might lead a quiet and peaceable life that all men might be saved. Well, the Bible says that after these judges raised up, He was with the judge. He delivered them out of the hand of their enemies the days of the judge. And then it grieved him. The word repented him. Interesting. It means to feel sorry. God's sorrow. Why did I say when it said he went to Bohim, the angel of the Lord? Because he weeps over this. What moves God? Your success and souls. There's joy in the presence of the angels over one sinner that comes from them. Who's in the presence of the angels? God is. They just want to look and see and bask. He's happy when somebody gets saved. You want to touch the heart of God? Win somebody to Jesus. That's his work. That's what he's doing. They didn't know the Lord and they didn't know his works. Ultimately, the works were supposed to build a hearing and build a bridge and bring people to salvation. The Bible says it repented the Lord because of their groanings. So he sent them another and another and another. God kept delivering them, even though they didn't deserve it. So he kept giving it. He kept giving them help. We've all seen a little depiction of puppies running into the house. And the last one's got his little legs going because he can't get up the step. He just got to go in and help them. Some of us identify with that puppy pretty good. The Bible says in verse 19, it came to pass when the judge was dead, they returned and corrupted themselves more than their fathers in following other gods. And it says, and they ceased not, in verse 19, they ceased not to turn from their own doings. Whose doing was it? They weren't victims of circumstance. It didn't have to do with nurture. It was their nature. There's a lot of people today who think the world's going to flip and it's going to go really, really good. And there's a lot of people today who think it's going to flip and go really, really bad. But I can tell you this, those people who think it's going to go really, really good, they've forgotten the heart of man. It's a wicked, evil heart. You're just going to trade in one tyrant for another if you really think that this world is going to turn into some kind of nirvana. And there are people out there that think that. The Bible says the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel in verse 20. And he said, because this people has transgressed my covenant, which I commanded their fathers and have not hearkened unto my voice, I will not ever talk to them again. I have nothing to do with them. I write them off. No, I will not henceforth drive out from before them of the nations which Joshua left when he died. He said, I'm not giving up on them. I'm just not going to help them for a while. I'm going to let them sit there and soak in their choice. And in verse 22, it says, that through them, through these other nations, I may prove Israel. Let me test them. Let's find out which ones are real, which ones aren't. Which ones are really of Jacob? All Israel is not of Israel. And so he said, I'm going to prove them whether they will keep. And the word means guard my law. Do you know when you get ready to lose America, you double down. You stop doing the nonsense. You stop watching the ball game because you're going to bow at your national anthem. You start reveling in the good stuff and the right stuff. And you start turning this off and not buying that. You're not worried about buying a Coke now. You're going to go buy RC. Because RC's just as good as Coke. And Coke wants you to be less white. I mean, we're living in a world that's after you. And they're after the things you value. Now, that doesn't make you a Christian. That makes you a patriot. It's good to be a patriot, but you got to be a Christian first. I've always said it's easier to be a conservative than it is to be a Christian. Because we can all agree about that many times. But boy, you start being a Christian, you're going to get some persecution. So he says, I'm going to leave those nations. I'm going to let them gouge them. I'm going to let them be thorns. I'm going to let them be, prickles and strings. I'm going to let them be hard and difficult. And the Bible says, he says, I'm going to prove them whether they will keep the way of the Lord. If you read the scriptures, you find out that the way of the Lord is really dynamically explained to us in the book of John, where the Bible says they asked Jesus, what must we do to do the works of God? And he said, believe on him whom he sent. That is to do the work of God. Believe on Jesus. Well, I believe in Jesus. I didn't say believe in Jesus. I believe on Jesus. It's like get up on his back and let him carry your cross, because that's the only hope you got. You got nothing. Bible says, I have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live, listen to this closely. The life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Not by faith in the Son of God, but by the faith he laid down. And his faith was, you got to believe in me. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but through me. That's the only way. It's not about your works. Bible even says, it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but through his mercy he saves us. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, the way of God. is to love you audaciously and love you without any regard for what it's going to cost him. He is willing to be identified with you. He is not ashamed to call you brethren. He is not ashamed to be called your God. That's in Hebrews 2 and Hebrews 11. He's not ashamed of that. Really? Sometimes you look in the mirror, there's some shame. No! He is not ashamed. He knew what you were like, and he loved you anyway. So he dove in. He took the hit. He took the hell. And he died on that cross for you. I want to read you a little something that I find very interesting. As I wind this thing down, I want you to know, we started out with, you know, some patriotic songs. We had the reading of the Declaration by Max McLean in part. And here we are at the end of this passage, and we're thinking, what is the answer? I mean, it's a mess. What do we do? I told you what to do when I said, be a judge. Be a judge. Be somebody who's discriminating, being somebody who's on point, somebody who's up on his haunches saying, put me in, coach, what can I do? Let me win somebody. Let me be one of your wives who win souls. That's what it's all about. So when we talk about Independence Day, I want us to realize that our heavenly citizenship trumps our earthly citizenship. But in the earthly realm, we have people who are forefathers of this country. And they signed that Declaration of Independence. And here's some things you might want to know about that. By signing the Declaration of Independence, the 56 Americans pledged their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honor. It was no idle pledge. 9 signers died of wounds during the Revolutionary War. 5 were captured and imprisoned. Wives and children were killed, jailed, mistreated, and left penniless. 12 signers' houses were burned to the ground. And 17 of them lost everything they owned. No signer defected. Their honor, like their nation, remained intact. We need to take this day, I believe, and say, I'm going to declare in my heart a declaration of dependence. We need to let go of the world. We need to fall in love with Jesus. We need to realize a quiet and peaceable life is not the end. It is the platform on which we share Jesus. We don't say, I got quiet and peaceful, I'm a good person, I always color within the lines, I'm a perfect good, I'm really a good person. I know I'm not saved by my works, it's all Jesus. I know that, I know. We need to get reckless for Jesus. We need to be judges, we need to do exploits, and we need to help people who are caught up in this world of godlessness, which is the worship of false gods. And we need to bring them to a place where they can find peace like you and I get to enjoy. You see, the difference between Yahweh / Jesus and Molech, Ashtaroth, and Baal is that the latter, Baal, Molech, and they, are all about carnality and about being stirred with some kind of a carnal, physical drive where you have no filter and you have no governor. Whereas over here with Jesus / Yahweh, what you have is you have peace. And you have control. You have understanding. And you know that no matter what comes against you, you and God cannot be vanquished. He's not leaving. He will never let you go. Would you bow with me for a moment?
Well, that concludes this week's series of messages. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. And I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. We so appreciate sharing with you these daily broadcasts, and I hope you can join us again next week. But Sunday is coming. We'd love to have you join us for worship. Our services begin at 10:30. We hope you'll consider dropping by this Lord's Day in person as we go to the Word.